Hi, this is Ann Cassidy, and we're here with our monthly podcast hosted by Independent RX Forum. I'm Senior Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Community Pharmacists Association, and I'm here with two of my federal government affairs colleagues, Adam Harbison and Katie Krell. Welcome, Adam and Katie. I'm glad to have you here. Would y'all just do a quick introduction for everyone?
Yep. Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Harbison, Senior Director of Congressional Affairs at NCPA. I lead our Congressional Affairs team, lobbying House and Senate offices on our pharmacy priorities.
And I'm Katie Krell. I am the Associate Director of Congressional Affairs, and I work with Adam, lobbying and advocating with members of Congress and their staff on behalf of pharmacists up on the Hill.
Well, I am so glad they are here, and I just want all the listeners to know that we have, I think, the best advocacy team on Capitol Hill, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been doing on the federal level. It's been a very, very busy year since January 1, which is a positive. You know, Adam, you've been around the pharmacy issues for a long time. You've been at NCPA for a long time, as have I. What do you think is different this year? And will you talk a little bit, really high level, about what you're seeing in Congress when it comes to looking at PBM practices, which we haven't seen Congress do that much in the past?
Yep, thanks, Ann. So Congress is definitely laser focused on PBMs this year. I think part of that has to do with last Congress, the Democrats were able to get some drug pricing legislation through that focused on drug manufacturers. However, they did not do anything on PBMs. And I think there's really bipartisan interest looking at these issues now, at how they can lower costs for patients and for payers. And really rein in some of the anti-competitive practices of PBMs that are out there. So Congress has started looking at this. You have multiple committees on both the House and Senate side taking a look at this, and we're starting to see some legislation moving, and we're obviously very excited to keep working on that this year.
Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. It's very busy. And so, Katie, I'm going to ask you a question. It's interesting with you being brand new. You came straight from the Hill. Do you see a big difference when you were a staffer before in terms of what legislators are focused on with the insurance and PBM world as opposed to now?
I would say very much so. I've been doing healthcare on the Hill for the last 7 years before I popped over to NCPA. And in the last year was really as they started to know, like, oh, what is, how does the whole drug pricing realm work? And now everybody on the Hill seems to know what a PBM is, how it impacts prices, and just kind of moving forward. And so there's a really big appetite of, like, they can see somewhere to actually be laser focusing to try and fix drug prices and to try and make drugs cheaper for all of their constituents. And that having an avenue open to them that they think is viable makes a world of difference, and everybody's talking about it. So it's a very exciting time to be working in this.
Absolutely. Sometimes it can get very frustrating. We talk to members of Congress, we talk to their staff, and we have been hearing a lot of, especially in the past, about we understand, we think PBMs are a problem, but I always felt a lot of it was a lot of hot air, but now we're seeing a big change into actually actionable things, Congress moving things forward. So with that, Adam, can you just tell our listeners what NCPA's priorities are specifically, and then maybe go into the status of those priority bills?
Yep, happy to. So our top priority that we're working on right now has both a House and Senate bill. The House bill is H.R. 1613. The Senate bill is S. 1038. And this is the Drug Price Transparency and Medicaid Act. Both of these bills are bipartisan in the House. It's led by Buddy Carter and Vicente Gonzalez. And in the Senate, it's led by Peter Welch and Roger Marshall. The bill would fix the Medicaid managed care program to prohibit spread pricing and move to a pass-through model where pharmacies would be paid on NADAC, the National Average Drug Acquisition Cost, plus their state-based dispensing fee, and PBMs would only be paid an administrative fee. So this is really great policy, would save state and federal governments money, and would make sure that pharmacies are getting a fair reimbursement rate instead of the really bad underwater rates that currently exist from the PBMs and Medicaid managed care program.
Yeah, I want to stop you right there, Adam. I mean, I think that's really important for pharmacies and really their patients to hear that. I mean, I think one thing that's been missing is really meaningful reimbursement reform because, you know, at the end of the day, in order for pharmacies to remain viable, they have to get paid at least their acquisition cost and a fair dispensing fee that reflects what it costs to dispense the medication. So, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, but in Medicaid fee for service, generally the dispensing fees, where are they? Somewhere between, you know, what's the dollar amount generally between in Medicaid? So like eight and ten
Negligible,
bucks.
really.
Yeah. Okay.
So this would change that to your kind of state average, which is somewhere in the $10 to $12 range.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. So apologize, I interrupted you. We were talking about that bill, but I want listeners to understand how important that bill is. So sorry to
Yep.
continue.
And this bill is moving as well. It was included in an energy and commerce hearing over the past few weeks, and we expect it to be marked up or voted on by the health subcommittee in the next week or so. And then over on the Senate side, it is in active consideration with the Senate Finance Committee since Chairman Wyden and Ranking Member Crapo rolled out their bipartisan framework to address PBMs. So this is a great bill, and Congress is taking notice of it and starting to move it. We have another piece of legislation that has also already seen action over in the Senate. That's S-127, the PBM Transparency Act. It was introduced by Chair Maria Cantwell of the Commerce Committee and Senator Grassley. The bill was voted on by the Commerce Committee last month. It would ban deceptive, unfair pricing schemes like spread pricing and prohibits arbitrary clawbacks. It does all this through the auspices of the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, and really clarifying their enforcement authority to go after PBMs for these bad practices, as well as state attorney general. The Commerce Committee did vote on it. It passed on an 18-9 vote. After an amendment that NCPA worked on with two of our champions, Senator Tester and Senator Capito, which would ensure that clawbacks are now completely banned by this bill. So we're very excited about this. It's waiting consideration on the Senate floor, and we hope to see it move sometime in the near future. The other bill that we have out there is H.R. 1770, the Equitable Community Access to Pharmacist Services Act. Listeners may know this as the provider status issue. So something that pharmacists have been working on for a long time now. This bill would really ensure that patients can continue to access COVID-19 pandemic and pandemic-related services from pharmacists that they've been getting throughout the pandemic. Of course, now that the public health emergency has ended, we want to make sure that pharmacists can continue providing these services to their patients and get paid by Medicare Part B. So specifically, this bill would provide for coverage for COVID and flu vaccine administration, COVID, flu, strep, and RSV testing, and COVID, flu, and strep treatment. So this is a bill that we will be working on. It's probably not as in the news right now as some of the PBM bills that we're working on, but with the public health emergency ending, and some of these services will be in question over the next year as things wind down. So we definitely want to make sure we can work on this to allow pharmacists to get paid and continue providing services to their patients.
Yeah, Adam, I'm glad you brought up that bill because that really is important. Pharmacists have been doing a whole host of healthcare services over the last couple of years, really being accessible to patients to provide healthcare that is, it's like I said, accessible, it's convenient, and that's really important. And it would really be a shame if then all of a sudden, with the snap of a finger, a lot of that went away. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I'm glad you brought that up as a priority. And so, Katie, switching a little bit over to activities, like a day in a life, like what are we doing as NCPA? I'd like you to talk about it to ensure the movement of these bills, how we work with staffers, and how we work with committees.
Yeah, so I have to say we are a small but mighty team, and you can really see it in the fact that like this week I was in the HELP markup committee making sure that we're keeping track of amendments and the bills that were going through the markup. And at the same time, Adam was getting to sit down with, committee staffers over in finance and getting to work out different things with the coalition that we work with. And so, we work individually, we work as a group, we work with the coalitions around. We're emailing and texting with staffers back and forth on amendments. We're in the hearings, in the markups, and oftentimes answering phone calls whenever they need to, because Congress doesn't like to operate on a 9-to-5 schedule. They can be fixing the bills on Saturday evenings or, at 10 o'clock at night. They may call and be like, hey, so I was just thinking about this. And so, we're always trying to field questions and give answers. And at the same time, we had our fly-in a couple weeks ago where we had almost 300 pharmacists come out, sit down with their members of Congress, and get to talk to them about our issues and how it's impacting them personally. And that, I think, is one of the biggest pieces of going to Congress is. The senators, the congressmen, they want to see how it's impacting their constituency. And so having the folks reach out and us being able to connect them and say, oh, well, Joe Blue in your district is seeing X, Y, and Z happen, and I can put you in contact if need be, means so much to them because knowing how it impacts them specifically will make them want to actually put the work in to do the fixes. And then they'll come to us for more of the policy things. So it's very, very fun to see all of this happening all at once, but it's also a lot of moving parts. And I have to say, you guys have been such amazing teachers in that respect, but also NCPA has amazing connections and really works hard to keep all of those relationships strong on the Hill because they realize how important it is that we want to be one of the first phone calls somebody makes when they have a policy question.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Katie, because I guarantee you there is not any sort of movement or legislation that deals with pharmacies and PBMs that staffers do not check with you all or myself at NCPA before they move on something. And I think that says a lot, but also think that says a whole lot about our members, the individual pharmacies, their engagement and their grassroots and advocacy efforts to make sure their voice is heard. I know that sometimes folks think that they're sort of yelling into a black hole because movement is so slow, but I do think we are seeing the fruits of our labor and pharmacy advocacy labor in this Congress, and it's really exciting to see. So on the flip side, Adam, we're talking about what we're doing to ensure that our legislation moves and gets passed. What are the obstacles that you see like that's in our way to doing that? I'd love to hear some of the challenges and those individual groups who are obstacles.
Yep. So obviously, we're up against the PBMs and their lobby, PCMA. They obviously have a lot more people than we do and a lot more money, considering they represent Fortune 15 companies. But like Katie and Ann have said, I mean, our members are our best resource. They have connections with their members of Congress. They are listened to because they take care of patients and they're active in the community. So members of Congress really care about what pharmacists think. We are making good progress on our bills, but we're also having to watch other legislation that's out there that might not be helpful to pharmacies. And we're definitely doing some of that because PBM reform is the topic of the day. But there are some bills that are not great for us. One was marked up this week in the HELP committee that Katie talked
Hey,
about.
Adam, what does markup mean?
Markup is when the committee votes on a bill to advance it out of the committee to the floor. And the markup really refers to the fact that usually they are making an amendment to the bill, to change the bill text.
Yeah, I just, that some of these technical terms on the Hill, it's not everyone understands. So I'm glad you brought that up. No, and you're absolutely right, and that just reminds me that it's interesting because everybody remembers the when he's talking about some bills that aren't so great. Y'all all know about this landmark Rutledge versus PCMA, the Supreme Court case that gave states the authority, or at least clarified states' authority, to regulate PBMs. And it was wonderful and it was helpful. But one of the negatives that we're seeing is now we want to be very careful because we want to make sure when Congress passes anything potentially in the ERISA space for ERISA plans, that we want to make sure there's language in there when it's dealing with commercial that says that nothing that is done at the federal level, shall preempt state law if it's stronger. So that, Adam, I know we've been working a lot on that issue and trying to educate Congress. Like, we want to be careful. We don't want Congress to set a ceiling on what states can do in the commercial space when regulating PBMs. We'd rather them, set a floor. So if states want to do something stronger, but I know that's sort of a new issue that we have been scrambling, to work with, but that's just a, that's something that Rutledge gave us, but obviously Rutledge gave us a lot more positive. So you were talking about challenges, Adam. What you're doing, what, as you leading the congressional affairs effort for NCPA, what can NCPA members do to help you to help be an advocate for NCPA?
Members of NCPA should use their voice to talk to their members of Congress. You can do this responding to our grassroots call to action to ask your members of Congress to co-sponsor or support our different priority pieces of legislation. You can keep and maintain relationships with your member and their staff. You can do that by hosting them for pharmacy visits in your store. You can go to their town halls and office hours with their district staff. You can support and work with them on the political side of things, by supporting their campaign. Anything that helps build and maintain the relationship so that they will call on you when they have questions about, policy that's being considered in Congress.
No, that's great. That's great advice. And I would also say that if you get a grassroots action alert from NCPA, it takes like 2 minutes. It does make a difference. Please click on and take action because when a House or Senate member gets a lot of responses on a particular issue, it really, I do think it can make a difference. So, just please click on. And then if you that grassroots request, and then also reach out to NCPA, Michael Rule at NCPA. Adam had mentioned a pharmacy visit, and he could help you set up a pharmacy visit with your member of Congress. So that was great advice, Adam. So Katie, you had mentioned fly-in a little while ago. Can you tell our listeners what fly-in is and why it's important for them to participate in future fly-ins if they have not?
Yeah, so I have to say, fly-in is probably the most impactful thing that you can do with staff and members outside of being in the district and going to the events there and talking to your members, because it means that you now we're back in person, we're back face to face, and so you fly out to DC, you sit down, and we have, a lovely breakfast in the mornings. Normally have absolutely amazing speakers. This last fly-in, we had an FTC commissioner, Commissioner Bedoya, and then we also had House Oversight Chair Representative James Comer come and speak to all of the members about what's going on in these spheres, how they're, working on these issues on the federal and congressional level. And then we load everybody up into buses and you have meetings that are set up with your members of Congress from your districts. And so on the House side, on the Senate side, you go back and forth and you either get to sit down face to face with the member or with a member of their staff and tell them personally your issues, the bills that you support, how things are impacting you. And that, you know, getting to see the constituents face to face is really how they understand, okay, this is impacting my district. This is impacting what we want to do. And having, you know, the greatest part about being part of NCPA is you come out here with all of your personal stories and how this is impacting you and how you would like it changed. And we have all of the policy areas of how we can try and fix it ready for you to go. And so we give you folders that have one pagers and you can leave those with the staff. And that way they can see the policy priorities that we have as NCPA that'll help in ways that we've worked in the past. And it gives them a starting block, especially for maybe some of those freshman members or members who just switched from the House to the Senate, you know, are trying to figure out how they can really be helpful to their constituents. You give them everything they need in one folder. You tell them exactly why it needs to happen. And then we also normally host a reception in the evening and members can come, their staff can come. And it's a little bit more of a relaxing time for you to talk with your colleagues around the country on how different pharmacies are being impacted in different ways and maybe ways to like make great friendships and working relationships that way. And also a great lower key time to talk with staff and with the congressmen if they are able to come. And so it's this really fast and furious time, but it gives people a lot of information. And I think it's one of the best ways that constituents can really show what they want.
No, thank you. Thank you, Katie. And I would urge everyone, please, please, please try to do your best to make it to NCPA's fly next year. I mean, our goal would ultimately to be to have every House congressional district covered and every single state covered. I mean, I think that would be, you know, make such a big impact. You know, we'd love to have you all join us. So as we, I think we're, running sort of towards the end of our time together. You know, Adam, is there anything you want to leave folks with, you know, going forward, what we expect, you know, over the next couple of months, you know, let them know what we'll be working on and what we expect.
Yep. So, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of focus from Congress on these issues. The House Oversight Committee that has been mentioned started an investigation of PBMs in March. We expect a hearing from them this month and probably further hearings as they continue to look into the PBMs and their anti-competitive practices. We've already seen pieces of legislation moving through committees with the PBM Transparency Act and the Commerce Committee. The Senate Judiciary Committee has also acted. The Senate Health Committee passed their bill that we have some concerns with that we're trying to get fixed. Energy and Commerce on the House side, we'll be doing a markup of some of our legislation in the next week. So hopefully that will come to the floor at some point, and other committees are starting to get engaged as well, like the House Ways and Means Committee. So it's a lot to keep track of, all of these moving pieces, but that's our job to do it. And we will continue to work on it and hope that all of these different committee actions will come together, either with separate bills moving through the House and Senate floors respectively, or possibly coming together in some package before the end of the year, which is what Congress usually likes to do to address healthcare issues all in one package right at the end of the year. So we'll continue monitoring that and advocating to make sure our priorities get included and can get across the finish line.
Wow. I mean, that's really amazing. I'm hearing all this activity, everything y'all have done. I mean, with, you know, two folks, small but mighty, I think is just a perfect way to describe what y'all are doing. Maybe running y'all ragged is a better way to do it. But I, you know, it's always, I think, better when there's a lot to do, a lot to address that's positive. So, you know, I just appreciate everything that y'all do. NCPA really is doing a great job. We are the voice of community pharmacy. at the federal level, but we couldn't do it without all our pharmacy members. And if you want any additional information on any of the advocacy things that we've discussed today, you can, we have a lot on our website. You can go to ncpa.org / advocacy. So all the bills we've talked about, all the information we've talked about is on that web page, and you can always reach out to us if you have specific questions. But Adam and Katie, I just appreciate y'all taking some time to talk about all the great work that NCPA is doing on Capitol Hill. And y'all just, everyone have a great day. Thanks for joining us.